So today we're focusing, we all need a personal trainer in our lives. We need to be fit, but we need training in our spiritual lives if we're going to follow Jesus effectively. If you'd like to turn with your Bibles to me, with me to Hebrews chapter 12. You know what? There it is, 975 in the Pew Bibles. Page 975 in the Pew Bibles. We're focusing on verses 1 through 3 of Hebrews. Once again, 975. So as we turn there, Lord, we pray, open your word to us today. Lord, we desire that your word would penetrate into our hearts and our minds, and that Holy Spirit, you would speak to us and call us to your purposes, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus, there, amen. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So last week we looked at gardening as a metaphor for how do we prepare our lives to be of service to Jesus. Today we're looking at training, physical training, or running the race. You know, when a runner starts his race, it's really important that they know where they're going, that they're in tune, they're watching, and they're ready. My daughter Evie, she's about 6 years old, and somehow she heard about a cross-country race that was taking part in town. They invited all the kids to elementary age to come out and run in this race. And she decided she wanted to be in this race. I tried to convince her. I said, Evie, you don't stand a chance of winning. I mean, come on, you're only six. There's going to be runners there who are 10, 11 years old. They're going to be really fast. She said, I don't care. I just want to run. So we went to this race. And Evie had never been to a race before, so she didn't know what everything that should take place. And they said, runners, on your mark. And all the kids went right up to the finish line. Evie just stayed in the back, kind of looking around. And they said, on your mark, get set, go. Actually, it was in Hungarian. We were living in Hungary, but whatever they said. And Evie's standing there going, and all the runners took off. And she's just looking around. And I said, Evie, run. So she took off and started racing. The parents, we all walked to the other side where the race ended. It was quite a long race, and we waited for the runners to appear. As I thought, the first runner came into view, an older kid, probably 10, 11 years old. Second runner came into view, another kid, probably 10, 11 years old. And then this little tiny person came into view, and there was my Evie. She ran hard, and she placed third in the race. I wasn't even prepared with a camera when she stood on that podium and the mayor of the city put a medal around her neck. I missed the whole thing as far as catching it. I had called Laura. I was like, you're not going to believe it. Our daughter got third place. We need to know where we're going. We have a race to run. How do we run this race? How do we find the energy? How do we know what race we're called to be in? And how can we be assured we're not going to miss it? That when the call comes to race, we're not going to miss out on what God has for us. Let's turn then to our scripture. Looking at verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. What's the writer referring to here? If we look back at chapter 11, this is called the great chapter of faith because the writer goes through and outlines all kinds of people in the Old Testament, people that came before, that gave their lives, who did heroic deeds, who stepped out in faith, trusting in the promises of God. If you want to turn with me back to chapter 11, in verse 6 it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Look up at verse 1. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. So they received the reward, they received their commendation, their medal, so to speak, was given to them because of their faith. Then look at verse 13. It says, these all died in faith, not receiving the things that were promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. That really speaks to me a lot. These were people that they're talking about in this passage who had come to the conclusion, we are strangers and exiles in this earth. So they were not focused on just living the life. They weren't focused on just getting ahead, on the material possessions, the things in this world, but they are focused on what is yet to come, a heavenly kingdom, and they were willing to give their lives and everything about their lives because they were convinced that what was coming was greater. They ran their race in obedience to whatever God called them to do, through suffering, through trials, through persecutions. They were asking, Lord, what is my purpose? What do you desire to do through me? I'm ready. Show me the course. And they ran in faith of the promises of God, knowing they were appointed for glory. This is an incredible message. We don't see everything that's going on around us. But when we can develop our faith to see the unseen, to see the promises of God, claim them and bring them into our lives, then we are appointed for glory and we will experience the glory of God in this life, but even more, looking forward to the glory that is to come when we go with Him in heaven. This verse, chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Last week we talked about the garden, how we need to weed the garden as we prepare the soil, and that applies to many of our lives. But here, it's talking about throwing off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. What are some of those things? One thing we need to do is have clear vision. Sometimes we need to take off the shades, the things that in this world have clouded how we see the world around us. We need to ask God, give me a holy perspective, Lord, to see what you're doing. Help me not to be clouded by the things that invade, by social media, by the pressures of peer pressures, everything that we see around us. We need clear vision. So we need to take off those glasses. You know what? Worry strangles a lot of us like a tie that's too tight around your neck. Encourage you. Let's take worry. Learn to trust in the Lord. Throw off that worry. We have the fear of man in us. It can be like a jacket that weighs heavily on us. Worried what other people will think. Trying to look good. Don't worry. I'll stop soon. We need to take that fear of man, impressing others, trying to build a reputation. It's a hindrance. We need to throw it away. Sometimes there are things that are shiny and nice. It's like, no, I don't want to get rid of this. It reminds me when I was 4 years old, I had a coat that I loved to wear, but it got all torn and dirty, and it was worn out every day. I put on my coat. My mom was like, Tim, you have to give it up. Come on, get rid of it. No, I have to have my coat. Well, my mom somehow took care of it. And one day my coat wasn't there anymore. Our doubts, our fears, we need to take these things off and say, Lord, I'm going to cast off anything that hinders me from running the race. So the picture is here. If we're wearing heavy clothing, if we're having things that are weighed down on us in this world, we cannot run the race that God has marked out for us. Some of the things that we're carrying and that we're bringing with us, they're tight among us. It's hard to breathe. And sometimes we feel like our breath is gone. And we don't have the energy for the race. I was actually going to bring my big backpack and talk about Pilgrim's Progress and Christian, how he carried his burden of sin with him. And finally, and it was heavy and it was tough going, but he laid his burden of sin at the foot of the cross. Jesus offers us freedom from every entanglement, every aspect of sin, or the things in this world that weigh us down, and he wants us to learn to go the distance. It says, let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Now, I'm really fascinated by this phrase there, that the race is marked out for us. This morning, I hope you can receive this in your heart, that God has a race for you, and it is already marked out. We have the choice every day. Am I going to follow this race, or am I going to shrink back in fear? Am I going to say it's too difficult, I can't take the risk? Or am I willing to say, God, I want to follow the race that you have marked out for me? Now, first of all, how do we know what the markers are? We need to learn to listen, to daily listen to the voice of the Lord and learn to recognize his voice. He promises to speak to us. In Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. Jesus said in John chapter 10, he says, my sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And this is the relationship that Jesus wants with us, is that we know his voice, that we believe, yes, actually, God speaks to me, he guides me, and he's going to show me the way to go. It also, going back to the reference to the cloud of witnesses, it says there's a great, and therefore it says, in view of this great cloud of witnesses, people who've gone before us, it was also possibly referencing the cloud in the Old Testament that guided the people of Israel, and they came up out of Egypt, they followed a cloud that was lit up by night, and during the day they could follow this cloud. This is the promise that God has for us. He will show us the way. And as Marlene was talking about earlier, there's people to encourage us here in the church. We show each other the way. We help each other find the way. And together, we will get there. I have two daughters, actually. Back to the running metaphor. Two of my daughters were runners. And from early up, they started winning competitions, placing with medals. And we decided we would do a 5K together. Now, I've never been much of a runner. But I decided, okay, I'm going to take on this challenge. I'm going to train. I'm going to get in shape. And I want to have a good time, not an embarrassing time in this race. So on the day of this race, my daughter's off doing their thing, you know, getting stretching out, getting ready, and they're smiling and just relaxed and ready. I started breaking out in a cold sweat. I felt like I was going to throw up. I can sing in front of large crowds. That's what I did earlier in life. And I would get a little bit nervous, but nothing like this. I was terrified. How will I know where to go? What's it going to be like? Am I going to just be embarrassed? What if I'm so slow that all the other runners leave me behind and there'll be no one for me to follow? I'll probably get lost in this town. It'd just be an incredible embarrassment. But anyway, the race started off and I realized there were markers along the way. There were signs clearly showing us which direction to go. And at every intersection, there was a kind person saying, this way, you can do it, come on, you can do it, cheering us on. My confidence grew as the race went on, and I was pleased I finished with a time that I was not embarrassed about. So that was a big win for me. We need to have this trust in the Lord that there are markers along the way. The Lord will speak to us, and there is a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on in the heavens, and there's also a cloud of witnesses here. Let's learn to cheer each other on, and let's be into that race with confidence. I will know where to go. The race is marked out for us. What is this race like? First of all, there's a race for all of us. We're all called to do God's work in this world. God has chosen to work through his church. Instead of just doing zap, making things happen, he says, here's a person. I want to speak to them, and there's a task I have for them to do. We all have the task of sharing the love of Jesus wherever we go. And this is something we all want to grow in, but saying, how can I demonstrate? How can I show? And how can I tell people about Jesus? We need to learn to walk and race that is marked out for us. Dr. Adrian Rogers says, we can't do it without him, and he will not do it without us. Let me say that again. We can't do it without him, and he will not do it without us. He's chosen to work through you and me. Will we hear his call and say, Lord Jesus, I'm ready. I want to run the race that you have marked out for me. Going on then in chapter 12, looking at verse 2, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. I'm not there yet to enter it. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. There's nothing more glorious, nothing more adventurous, and nothing better than fixing our eyes on Jesus. Or we could say, we need to lock on to our target. We need to lock on to him and keep our focus of our life and everything about us fixed on Jesus. There are two things that stood out to me in the little video that some people turned around and watched where Roman Wagner was speaking, a personal trainer. He says, first of all, you got to know your why. Why are you doing something? Why are we going to go through the pain of working out, getting in shape? There's got to be something bigger than us behind it. Most people are looking for something, not vanity, but staying in shape for life, being able to play with their children. I know that's a motivator for me. We hope to have grandchildren someday. I'm going to be an old grandpa. I need to be in shape. It's something bigger than myself that motivates me. What is this thing in life that's bigger than you and me that we're called to? It's big, it's wonderful, and Jesus invites us to enter into this race, and he's saying, I will work through you. You have gifts, you have abilities that are special that I've given you, and when you open your life up to me completely, I will work through you in power, do miracles, wondrous things will happen. When we open our eyes to see the wonder of Jesus, and when we're fixed on him, then we step out. Now, Roman also said that it takes discipline. It takes training. We have to work at it. This is something that we need to do as well. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, it means that I'm going to pursue him. I'm going to go after him. I'm going to seek him in my life. It means making the pursuit of Jesus the number one thing in our lives. I'm going to place him first. It means surrendering everything else to his lordship. That's a question we can ask this morning. Are there things competing with my fixation of Jesus? Are there things that are just distracting me? Or are there goals and things going on in my life where, no, I'm in charge and I've not submitted that to Jesus? Now, we have jobs, life happens, we have responsibilities, but can we bring all of these things, schooling, our work, everything under this mantle of saying, Jesus, I'm fixed on you. Work through me in my work, in my job, in my surroundings, the people I encounter, and let this be an expression of my service to you. And as we do that, we will see more and more joy in our daily life. We will see Jesus showing up in unexpected places, a conversation, and we will find more and more success, I believe, in our daily activities, our work, when we bring them under the authority and submission of Jesus. 11:34, it says, there are people who were quenched by the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, who were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. God wants us to be strong. He takes weak people like us. He calls us into the battle, and he calls us to fight the spiritual battle. But he will make us strong when we get into action. So I find it interesting. There's a verse in Isaiah when it talks about how do we find the course that's marked out for us. There's a verse that I claim very often that says, and you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, go in it. And it strikes me, it says you will hear a voice behind you, not ahead of you calling, but behind you. You'll hear a voice saying, this is the way, go in it. And I think about this, it means we need to be going. And here's two forks in the path, we don't know which way to go. We will hear a voice behind us saying, go in it. This is the way. And we will know blessing and hope. I may have told this story before, but I grew up on a farm, and we had to move cattle from farm to farm. We had different ones that were several miles apart, and it was always rather intense because cattle can bolt away and get away. But we just had a little stick, and we just gently nudged the cattle when it's time when they got out of line. We would not allow them not to go in the right direction. And I take comfort in this because sometimes I just say out loud, I'm not as stupid as a cow, but almost. But God, you will get me where I need to go. And you are big enough to do that. I do not need to fear. You are my wonderful shepherd. You're leading me, you're guiding me. But even if I run off course, you're coming after me. And you will not let me get away. You know, in my life, there's been a few times when I remember so clearly God speaking to me. One of them was when I was really struggling about this whole area of surrendering to the Lord. I was really intent on my career, and I knew if God called me to be a missionary, I wasn't going to obey. In fact, if God called me to do anything except what I was doing and focused on, I knew that I would not be obedient to him. And it was a sad place to be because I knew the truth. I had walked with the Lord early in life. I knew what it was like to follow Jesus. And I knew I was not walking in obedience with him. One day I was singing in Colorado, and I was in my room alone, and the voice of the Lord came that simply said, "You are mine, and I will never let you go." It was a profound moment. I remember the stillness in the room and feeling this presence of the Lord. "You are mine, and I will never let you go." I responded and said, "God, I want to surrender to you, but I cannot. This is too strong in my life. This idol, I know it's an idol, but whatever it is, it's got a hold on me. I cannot let it go. But I ask that you would change me and make me so that I can let go of this." Some months later, or in the following months, I just saw God begin to work deeply in my life. I got a greater understanding of how great his love is for me. And little by little, I felt that allure of this career thing that I was really aiming for. It got less and less. And then the morning when I was sitting in my devotions and I read the words in Philippians, everything is like rubbish compared to the riches of knowing Jesus. And I realized I can now say that with confidence. Nothing else is worth more than the riches of knowing Jesus. This is what God wants for each one of us, that we would know the riches of fellowship with him, that we would gain confidence and gain strength, that we would know joy. This is his plan for us, not to go through the doldrums of life, but to know joy, to learn to know him and that his power fills us. Matthew 6:33, the words of Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." We seek first him, and everything else in life will be added as well. He knows what we need. He knows we need to earn a living. He knows we need jobs. He knows all these things, but when we focus on him first, when we say, "I am first and foremost your missionary in this world. I am here for you, Lord. I'm going to follow you and do your plan in my life," everything else is going to fall into place with much more blessing. Ephesians 3:20-21 says he will do more than we can ask or imagine. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." We can't even fathom the riches that God wants to impart to us, the riches in our soul and our lives, the blessing that he wants to pour out on us. But he does require that we give up everything. We give up everything because we know what we're receiving is so much more. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established." God wants to establish our lives, that we be strong, that we can stand in the midst of the storms. Let us commit our work, our lives to him. So we want to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It says in verse 2 again, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So a final word. God is the one who perfects our faith. It's not that we have to just work it up and do it ourselves. We submit to him. We say, God, come and change me, and he will do it. When we surrender our hearts to him, no matter what doubts we have, what fears we have, no matter how inconsequential we feel and unable to run this race, when we submit to him, it says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He will make us mature and complete. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's look for those simple acts of obedience, listening for his call, committing our lives to say, Lord, I'm ready. When you show me what you want, whether it's a small thing or it's a big calling in life, whatever, Lord, I want to be ready, in tune, and full of courage to step out and obey. Are you paying attention? Are you listening for the call of God in your lives that says, get ready, get set, and go? Have you embraced the vision that God has for your future? Are you fully trusting him to meet your every need? He is fully able to do more than you can ask or imagine. Today, if you're sensing that heavy burden, if you're sensing things that need to be cast off and thrown off, I encourage you, make that prayer during this time, during this song we're listening to and the prayer afterwards that we're going to pray together. And let's cast it all off and say, Jesus, I will follow you. Please pray with me. Lord, I lift up every person here who maybe hasn't heard your call, who hasn't surrendered. And I just pray, Lord, reveal how great your love is for them, that you died for us. You gave your life for us, Lord, that we can be free. And that, Lord, that we can run in this race that you've marked out for us with courage. So I pray, Lord, help us to let go of these burdens. Let us let go of the hindrances, Lord, and give our full lives to you, trusting in you at every moment. Lord, strengthen us as a church body that we can also reach out to those who are stumbling. Lord, those that need a hand, they need a shoulder to lean on. Let us be there for each other. Strengthen us and prepare us, Lord, for the course you've marked out for us as a church, Lord. We want to be ready and willing and eager, Lord, for what is ahead. And we are, Lord, so thankful that we can trust in a bright and wonderful future in you. We pray this and thank you again in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We're just going to sing the Great Commission over you, and I'm going to read that before we do. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely as I am with you always,
it's okay.